All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome into the fray, sports mappers. Suck it, 346 area code.
Wow, what a
we
nice,
are here
what a nice
on another
intro.
Great day on The Usual Suspects. It's a way back Wednesday. It's songs pre-2008 for cities with baseball teams in the baseball playoffs. Barry had hour number one. I had hour number two. Nick has hour number three. If you missed any of that or any of the first 2 hours of the show and you're not a usual suspect, keeping up with all 3 hours, ESPN975.com, click on the show. You can catch what you missed. We had a lot of good stuff. Just had Lance Zierlein, which was fun. And we're kicking it around on a Wednesday. So
good times stuff. Indeed. Yeah. Let's get to these calls because I feel bad. They both T and Juan hung through the breaks and through Lance and everything. So
did you just say Tijuana?
No. T and Juan. That's two separate callers, Joel.
Let's see what Tijuana wants.
No, who's been holding
on? Who is that?
T.
T or one?
T. Yeah, T or one.
Okay. All right, T.
Yeah, T, what's up?
Hey, guys. Y'all making me laugh over here.
Thanks, man.
I want to know, is the Blitz going to be on location today, or are they going to be in office?
I don't know, man.
I don't know. Why? Why do you ask?
Yeah,
are you stalking them?
Okay, so, no. Yesterday, Fred said something about Alvin Kamara, and the Saints fans lit into him. And I want him to not give up on Saints fans, because you got to understand the Saints culture. You have to understand the people in New Orleans culture. You can't diss one of their own. I'm not apologizing for him, but I didn't want Fred to give up on him yet. But that made me think about something. So Fred said elite backs with Ezekiel Elliott, which I agree with. Leonard Fournette, if you can stay healthy, I agree with.
Ooh,
and I think he said Le'Veon Bell. But he said Kamara was, and he said Saquon Barkley. And he said Kamara was just good, but he hasn't did it yet. How can you say Saquon Barkley is elite after three games and Kamara's not elite? Now, Kamara's been showing it for like a year and a half. Plus, Kamara got better stats this year, even as a rusher, not even counting his receiving. So who do y'all think? Do y'all think that Barkley's elite off three games and Kamara's just really good?
Appreciate the call, T. What I would suggest is that if you have a beef with what they said, call that show.
Yeah, you should have just led the call with sports.
Yeah,
I will say this. I don't have a problem with people wanting to put I heard the segment that you're talking about. I heard it. They were talking about elite running backs in the NFL. And AJ had a good point that sometimes people confuse elite fantasy running backs with elite running backs. And it's not the same thing. And so they were talking about the fact that it's Ezekiel Elliott, Todd Gurley.
Thank you. I was going to say the one thing that listening to T-Talk, I'm like, please tell me someone said Todd Gurley.
Yeah, those three. Ezekiel Elliott, Todd Gurley, and Le'Veon Bell were the elite running backs in the NFL. I think to Fred's point, and I'm not trying to defend them, but I was listening to it and it made sense because he said Saquon Barkley could be elite. He's got the stuff to be elite, to be an elite running back, but he has to prove it. And that was his point about Kamara. You're going to have to prove it, and you're going to have to do more of it. I realize that they're at different levels in their career.
Did you say AJ made the point that fantasy points?
Because somebody said, well, David Johnson is elite. No, he's an elite fantasy back, but he's not an elite running back. I agree with all
no
of that.
No one has more points than Kamara this year from a fantasy perspective, but fantasy football rankings are totally different than elite status as running back in the NFL.
Yeah, I agree with whoever said that. Yeah,
sports.
Yeah, that turned into a, like,
why
I wonder.
Would, yeah, why, if you knew wonder, they said it, call them.
I'm sure people call the Blitz and bitch about us. Did you, this guy's, Joel said that Taj Gibson.
Why's it got to be Joel?
I don't know, because I'm never wrong.
Oh, right.
But I don't know.
Okay.
Legend, yeah, I'm sure they do. And I'm sure they lose. They're just like, oh, my God. Call the usual suspects and bitch. But I understand your point, T. And I thought about that. I was like, well, here's the thing though. There are really good running backs. And there are guys that have the potential to be elite. Like David Johnson does have the skill set as a pass catcher out of the backfield and as a rusher.
Speed.
But he hasn't done everything. It for more than a year, he's year and a half. Hurt. Yeah, so you can't really say he is elite yet. You're talking about guys in Todd Gurley, Ezekiel Elliott, and Le'Veon Bell that have done it for a couple of years and have been consistent in doing it.
From the get-go. From now, the I will time say that Ezekiel they got Elliott, into the league.
I will say Ezekiel Elliott has benefited from a hell of an offensive line in Dallas, and true. It would be interesting to see him on a team. Would he be considered elite on the Texans? I'm not saying he would or wouldn't. I'm just saying ask that question.
Well, and I did the—
because everyone's going to benefit running behind that Cowboys line.
The video that we started airing today on sportsmap.com is comparing Deshaun Watson and Dak Prescott, and that's one of the things that I touched on as well is, I mean, for the most part, Watson's statistics after 11 games— are pretty parallel to Dak's after 20 games. Mm-hmm. But the one thing when you say, you know, positives, negatives, the biggest thing that you can also say about Watson is he's doing it with a really bad offensive line, whereas Dak has also benefited from having that really good, solid Cowboys offensive line since he came into the league.
Yeah.
And on the flips, you know, and he's also been able to turn around and hand the ball to Zeke when Deshaun is turning around and handing it to a less than... Dolphins like Lamar Miller and others.
Yeah.
So.
Juan wants to talk about the Steelers.
That's a shocker to me.
What's up, Juan?
Hey, I'm calling from Andersonville, North Carolina, and I can check in with the signal. I did want to ask Vance a couple things. Well, I'll ask you then. How much do you think Bell's heart's going to be in it when he comes back and is the bye week going to be enough of an extra week to make it to the playoffs? And gun to your head, I have to make a bet to, you know, show some pride and put my money where my mouth is. Are the Steelers going to make playoffs?
I heard about half of that.
He wants to know if the Steelers are going to make the playoffs, and he wants to know with Bell coming back to
is
the
gonna be,
to the
is he going to be? Is he going to have the passion? Is he going to want to play?
Is his heart going to be in it?
Are the Steelers going to make the playoffs? And what was the third one?
And I think that's basically the primary thing. Are the Steelers going to make the playoffs? And is Bell going to have his
heart in it? These guys are professionals. I don't think they could probably check out, but
I'll say this.
Here's the thing.
He's going to head to the sidelines more, and he's going to look to hit
somebody. Oh, yeah. After what we saw Earl Thomas go through in Seattle, that was what I was going to say. It's not necessarily that his heart won't be in it. His brain will be in it, and he knows he needs to take care of himself.
And if you don't think that's true,
be a lot of helmet tapping.
Check out the week he's coming back, Barry. He's coming back to get paid for the bye week.
Yeah. You see how the running backs will tap their helmet like I need a breather? Mm-hmm. Be a lot of helmet tapping going on with Le'Veon Bell. I'm coming out a lot. I'm not going to be in here and be a workhorse like I have been over the last 5 years leading the league.
He's making $850,000 a week, and the first week he comes back, he's getting that to be while the rest of the team's on a bye week.
And I hate to burst your bubble. We talked a little bit about it yesterday, Steelers fan Juan, but no, the Steelers aren't making the playoffs. They have the toughest schedule remaining in the NFL. And they also still have to catch the Ravens and the Bengals and stave off the Browns, who they're tied with right now in the bottom of that division. So I frankly, I don't see them making the playoffs with the schedule that they have. I just don't.
It's going to be really hard. Really, really hard.
I'll read it one more time if you're not a believer. Atlanta, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Baltimore, Carolina, Jacksonville, Denver, Los Angeles Chargers, Oakland, New England, New Orleans, Cincinnati. That is not a down-the-stretch playoff schedule. You're lucky to finish 500. So,
yeah, no question about it. Yeah, we went over all of it yesterday. So it's going to be interesting. And look, there's too much talent on that team.
It's pretty disappointing.
Yeah, to be where they're at. And no one saw that coming. You and I mean, look, I thought they were going to get to the Super Bowl this year. I thought because I thought the Patriots were going to take a little bit of a half step back. I thought with that much talent this year, they're going to step up, and they have done nothing of the sort.
Yeah, they were my Super Bowl pick.
But you wanted to ask about the Texans' schedule, and it's the complete opposite.
Oh, we didn't get to that, yeah.
It's the complete opposite of what the Steelers have
to
face.
One of the easiest schedules
and I still don't think
in the NFL.
Great.
I have them finishing 6-6 down the stretch. I don't know where you guys are at.
I had them with 5 wins.
You had five.
I just looked
seven.
At the next 6 games because I'm trying to look at like short term. A lot of these teams, you don't know how good they are. The record obviously is not a good indicator like at this point in the season. But if you look at the next 6 games,
well, the exercise. I hate to cut you off, but the exercise is what are they going to? What's their record at the end of the year going to be? And that's why I just went ahead and looked at the rest of the schedule. I think they're finishing 7-9. If they go 6-6 the rest of the year, they'll finish at 7-9.
I think they're winning six games. But
okay.
But I think
so. Then you think they'll go 5-7?
That's exactly what I think too, Nick. 6-10.
Yeah, I think they're a six-win team. But I mean, that could all change. I don't know. Like I said, we don't know how, you know, if the Jaguars. We feel like the Jaguars are the most legit team when you look at their next six games. You got Cowboys, Bills, Jaguars, Dolphins, Broncos, Redskins. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if I'm asking too much. If they can go 3-3, if they can beat the Cowboys, the Bills, and the Dolphins, but maybe I am. You know, but I think the Jaguars and the, you know, the Broncos and the Redskins at this point, it's a little bit too much to ask. But I think the other three, I'm you know, Cowboys haven't really shown too much on offense.
No, right now, the Cowboys, and we'll get into more breakdown of that particular game tomorrow, but the Cowboys and the Texans, they're very similar as far as, you know, where they would rank amongst the NFL right now. They're a bottom third team. Neither one of these teams are great. They all have different things. And you look at quarterback play, you can obviously Ezekiel Elliott is a much better running back than Lamar Miller, but I would take Deshaun Watson. I would take the Cowboys' offensive line. I would take the Texans' defensive line. I mean, you can go back and forth. That's why I say I think they're very similar, and the records show that too.
Fair points.
Wow, so that was too easy. And we got through all that. That's pretty quick.
Nick, good for us. Good catch on the fact that we doubled back and got what we said we were going to
get. That's why he's the best producer on the show.
I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Look at you. Oh, you get a ding. Oh, I hate you being able to control the board. You make me sick.
Part about being a producer.
You're right. Is you get to control the drops, too. Hey, did you guys know that 60% of Americans drink alcohol at least every month? It's true. It's a matter of fact. Let's face it, alcohol is a part of life. We all drink. Some of us drink more than others. I'm not a heavy drinker, so I drink in moderation, but I do like to drink. I just enjoyed a half a bottle of Crown this past weekend. And look, I'm not a spring chicken anymore. I don't a couple of shots of Crown and Diet Coke, and I'm not feeling all that great the next day. I'm going to be honest with you. That's why I started using Thrive Plus. It's really great, man. It's a vitamin that you take whenever you drink alcohol. To use it, you take three capsules after your last alcoholic beverage or before you go to bed. That way you don't wake up feeling terrible. It's the whole point of Thrive is to reduce alcohol's negative effects on your liver and the way that it processes and gets rid of the toxic byproducts from alcohol. Now, I'm not a scientist, but I've tried it, and I'm telling you what, I woke up Sunday, I felt a lot better than I should have and than I have in the past before I started using it. And don't take my word for it. Thrive Plus was featured on Shark Tank. The founders are Ivy League graduates. They have 5 PhDs on the team working on Thrive Plus. And look, if you don't feel 50% better the next day, the company will give you your money back. So it doesn't matter if you drink one drink, five drinks, just take three Thrive Plus capsules afterwards, and you are going to feel so much better the next morning. And what I like is it's a Houston-based company. So if you order, you can order it today. Order right now before 4 p.m. It will be on your doorstep the next day. That's the beauty of having a Houston-based company. You order before 4 p.m., you get it on your doorstep the next day. To order, simply go to DecideThrive.com. That's DecideThrive.com. They're even on Amazon. Just search for Thrive Plus. I don't drink without Thrive Plus, and neither should you.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back to The Usual Suspects. Joel, Barry, and Nick with you until 4 p.m. simulcasting on SportsMap 94.1. Of course, you're listening on ESPN 97.5 as well. If you want to get in touch with the show, 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-ESPN is how you can call or text us. Hit us up on Twitter, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at Barry is Funny, at The Producer Nick.
Joel is MIA.
That's all right. I'm not worried about that. Did you see the story about the guy that wanted to do a gender reveal? So, you know, it's this big deal now where when people are having a baby, a couple's having a baby, they don't tell anyone until the last second. And then they throw a big party and do a gender reveal, right? So they'll have like a box, and then they'll pull the box up and pink balloons will fly out. Or they'll have like one guy did a he wanted – it was a pitch, basically. Somebody's going to throw him a baseball, lob him a baseball that was made of glass. He swings and hits it with a bat, and boom, it'll blow up. And whatever color powder comes out of this you know, glass baseball is – well, he swung and missed, and it shattered and hit the ground. And then that was the – but that's not the worst. Dennis Dickey, 37, of Tucson, Arizona, has to pay $8 million in restitution – because he wanted to blow up something. It was an explosive gender reveal. So he was going to shoot this bottle of explosives or this thing of explosives. And whatever color it would blow up as was going to be, oh, it's a boy or a girl. Well, the problem is he shot it and it blew up and it started a 47,000-acre wildfire.
Oh, man.
That he's on the hook for, and it cost $8 million to fight this wildfire.
That's worse than being on the hook for child support for the next 18 years.
And he works border patrol as well. So it was right there on the border.
So they're just going to garnish his entire check every time he gets one.
He's going to be in debt the rest of his life.
He's a dumbass. Why do you do that? He shot a rifle at a target containing tannerite. Have you ever heard of this stuff?
No.
It's explosive. There's a powder in it, and it's supposed to come out. And my buddy actually has tannerite, and it's supposed to be fun. Like, they'll go to an empty field, and you just set it up, and it makes a huge explosion when you shoot it with a rifle or whatever. I guess you don't do that when there's burnable vegetation around.
Yeah.
That dude's a dumbass. That's one of the worst ones.
Yeah, stick to a more simple approach when you want to reveal that.
Yeah, just be like, oh, surprise, it's not mine.
Like, have somebody else put like either a pink or a blue ribbon in a box and then just
reveal it that way or something. It's just always such a big deal. I love the one where Gordon Hayward's got nothing but girls and they do the gender reveal and he finds out another girl and he cannot fake the fact that he didn't want another girl. His face is just classic. You can find it on YouTube and in the internet, but he's just like, wah, wah, wah. Just not happy.
And then I saw this on the internet. It was disturbing ways of dying or your chances of dying doing popular activities. All right. You guys may not want to join me for the Rumble classes. You have a 1 in 2,200 chance of dying boxing.
Okay.
That's skydiving? How high do you think the chances are? What do you think the chances are of dying?
I did it. I don't know.
Of skydiving?
I would say 2 or 3%. 2%?
You got to give me a number. 1 in 10, 1 in 1,000, 1 in a million.
1 in 200.
1 in 100,000.
Okay.
That's a lot. You have a better chance of dying boxing than you do skydiving? That seems weird. Hang gliding, 1 in 560. Wow.
I can see that.
Way more dangerous. There's a 1 in 50,000 chance of dying playing American football. 1 in 100 of Grand Prix racing. You have a 1 in 100 chance of
That's
dying.
That's a segment we got coming up, right?
Grand Prix racing? Yeah. Oh, of course, right? Bungee jumping? Would you think it would be more or less than skydiving?
More.
Yeah, it is. You have a better chance of dying while skydiving than you do bungee jumping.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought the bungee thing would...
You have a 1 in 500,000 chance. It's crazy.
Or Will Smith, when you turn 50, skydives by... Is like does both. He gets up in the air in a plane and he bungee jumps off the plane.
Didn't one of the Bushes do that on his like 90th
George Bush
birthday?
Senior, yeah. He's done it multiple times. More than once.
He did skydiving at his 90th birthday.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And you have a 1 in 1 million chance of dying while running or jogging.
Okay.
Would that be like hit by a car?
So it looks like hand gliding is the way not to go.
Yeah, don't hang glide. The takeaway. Or Grand Prix racing. Don't do either of those.
Idiots that do that like human flight suit thing where you don't even have a hang glider.
Oh, yeah, like you look like a flying squirrel.
Yeah, like exactly.
And it's just
right.
You got wings under your armpits. I would totally never do that.
No, that's just stupid enough. Go like 1,000 miles an hour.
Dude, I thought
like
I was stupid for skydiving, so I'm not going to say anything.
I had a bucket list of two things, and one of them was I just wanted to run a marathon because I had smoked for my entire life, and I wanted to, and I did that. And then my other one was skydiving, but only because I'm scared of heights. And so I wanted to face a fear head on, and I just haven't done it yet.
I don't think, if you're going to face your fear of heights, skydiving isn't the way to go, playa.
Why?
Because you're in a plane, the door's open, it's cold, it's 14,000 feet. Why don't you just do something else to address, you know what I mean? Like,
not, you're saying it's not...
Because you're traveling in a moving craft, that's why. You know, like, do something else to face your fear.
But you're not going to get higher than 14,000 feet.
Yeah, but once you jump
feet?
Out of the plane, Nick, yeah, you're looking down on creek going,
do you
whoa,
understand
baby.
That the only thing that would...
I'm thinking more like babies, like graduate would, to an aircraft. You get what I'm saying?
Oh, you're saying that's too
that's too much at the first okay. time. Is what
I
saying.
Thought you were saying that wasn't
yeah,
a big
I thought
deal.
You were saying it, yeah.
I'm like, are you kidding me?
Oh, it's a massive... I was terrified.
The poop in my pants is going to need its own parachute when I'm up midair, just crapping my pants because I'm scared yeah. to death. I don't know. I'll probably do it at some point. Maybe my 50th birthday.
I'd do it on your 90th birthday, just like Bush Sr. Yeah,
dude, I don't think I'll live to be 90.
That's what I mean.
Just throw my coffin yeah. out of a plane.
Put that as a goal, and if you get to it, fantastic. Skydive and if you don't, man, in a wheelchair. You had it on your list.
Yeah. If you're curious about, like, you know, how people say, oh, you could die in a car wreck, there's 1 in 6,700% chance.
So what,
or not
what,
percent, but 1 in 6,700.
What is a higher risk rate? Driving in a car or flying in a plane?
Plane deaths, 1.27 deaths for every 100,000 flight hours.
Hmm. That's so hard. I can't. What does that mean?
9 times 7.
63.
Okay.
Bam. But I mean, how do you?
We do the same.
Wait, I was
going to
say, we keep giving you the same equation.
Next time it'll be 7 times
12 times
9.
4.
48.
Okay, that was pretty good. But they're just saying for every 100,000 hours of planes in the air, 1.2 people die. So a quarter of a person dies along with a whole person.
But so
person.
Far, hand gliding and the, what was the Grand Prix? What was it?
What's yeah, 100, Grand one P, in, pre-racing. Grand
1
P.
in 500. And,
Grand, no, oh, Nick! Grand P racing.
Got him. Done.
That was whack.
It's not as good as foam balls, no, honestly.
Not even close. 1 in 100.
I can't argue that.
1 in 100 was the Grand Prix racing.
So how do we get Joel to do the Grand Prix racing?
Right after you do hang gliding.
People who are obese... between 5 and 14 years, are 2 times higher risk of mortality than those who have never been obese.
Hmm.
Yeah. So everyone on this show is screwed. We've all been obese at one point. You and I used to be. Nick still
I've
is.
I've never been obese in my life. Never
I mean,
happened.
It's okay.
Never. I was borderline, you know, but I was. It was never there.
Similar to a drug addict, when you're a food addict, the first step is admitting you have a problem.
See. No.
Yeah, it's kind of like alcoholics. They're like, I'm always going to be an alcoholic. I just don't
no,
drink
I admit
anymore.
I'm an alcoholic.
You're obese.
I'm just not admitting.
No, I'm not
fat.
Saying that. I'm just saying in like speaking, a 12-step program, you have to admit that
speaking
you
of that,
are
Eric Sandler
are.
Was on...
oh, wow.
No, he's the food critic.
Dick
you were talking. No, you were talking
Dick
about food.
Move.
No, you were no. talking about food critics. So
you
are, I said,
oh,
you
know, I'm turning my,
on the Blitz last night, I was completely shocked. And Nick, I don't know if you heard this or not. Can I just finish then if you're not going to do it? Our food critic for Sports Map, Eric Sandler, he's got beef with a lady at the Chronicle.
I see what you did there.
And they go like, it's like getting nasty. And Fred got into it yesterday, and AJ was asking Eric questions. And I was like, damn, I thought that was only for sports radio hosts.
Did he,
and people
did
like
he
that.
Get into it with the food critic of the Chronicle?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I guess she wanted to be anonymous, and she wanted to keep her anonymity. And I think Eric said in a public event she was speaking. And he put out a picture, and she got upset about it years ago, blocked him on Twitter, but yet was taking shots at him. I mean, come on.
Mm.
Ridiculous. Mm. And she put out a list of the top 100 restaurants in Houston, and they were just picking it apart, and it was weak.
I'm not in on this with you.
Well, don't. I don't care. I'm just telling you. I heard the food critic part.
I mean, look, I like Eric Sandler. Hopefully he won. I didn't see that battle. Hopefully he won that battle. He's good at what he does.
All I know is when I was...
he hooks me up with free food, and that's
I
all
walked
I care about.
In, and as without I was leaving... Walking. I walked in as I was leaving. I could hear AJ talking about filleting a corn dog, and I thought, I don't know what I'm missing, but I have to hurry and get to the car.
I didn't know
what the hell he was talking about.
But AJ's reactions are always funny because she wanted to keep her anonymous.
He's like, give her name.
No, well, no. So
that's
said,
what I would have done. Give her name.
So Fred was kind of talking about the fact, and I don't think Eric said it, but Fred said something about the fact that she's kind of an older age, drinks wine kind of person, and AJ can't hide it. And so AJ goes, let me look her up and see what you... He didn't want to comment at first. He was like, oh, it seems like you guys did a pretty good job accurately portraying her.
By the way, when we were talking Houston-Dallas, Blake Adams was like, Barry, Texans D over the Cowboys D? Nah, bro. Look at the stats. I said D-line. You have to listen. I said I would take the Texans D-line with J.J. Watt, D.J. Reader, and Jadeveon Clowney over the Cowboys line. Yes, I would. Sorry.
Lawrence is great. Why it's your opinion.
That's right. I just said the D-line, not the whole defense. Texans secondary, not looking all that great. Linebacking, non-existent.
See, I think I should win just on this song alone.
Why are you pandering? You already did the sympathy vote early.
But this song alone is better than the 18 songs that we listened to.
You are insane.
I'm just saying. From the land. From the land.
The only lyrics any white person knows is, I miss my Uncle Charles,
that's the best part.
That's the only one anybody knows.
And bum, 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 bum.
Hey.
Well, I didn't need...
There's a lot of things I don't need, Chief. All right. Half hour to go in the big show. Don't go anywhere. It's 30 minutes on the clock. It's Sports Map 94.1, ESPN 97.5, and we are the usual suspects.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling along, final half hour of the show. We'll take you till 4. Blitz will take you till 7. It's SportsMap 94.1 and ESPN 97.5. We've talked baseball. We've talked basketball. I'm sorry, we talked football. We haven't talked basketball. So let's make the peeps happy in the station and out. I did not watch. I checked in twice briefly, but very briefly on the Rockets last night. I know it's a big deal with a lot of people that there's video surfacing that Melo, who looked fairly good last night as a Rocket, I will say that.
Did you see him apologize to the
bitch? I was going
to
say, takeaway is that he faked faked on a three, stepped in and took a two, and then told the bench,
my bad. That's great.
For making the
That's funny.
Mid-range jumper that is a no-no in the Rockets' offense. So he's fitting right in. And look, you know, whether you think it was just Chris Paul and James Harden that wanted him here, or regardless of the rest of the team did or didn't, those guys made a concerted effort last night to make sure he got the ball, and he got it in positions that he's comfortable with, and he excelled. So, again, the big thing is there's two takeaways that I took away from last night. One is we already know they can score with anybody. And he looked good for his first game. The bigger thing to me is the role players that they brought in that were throwaways on other teams look like, whether it's the environment, the fact that this team has a chance to do some special things or for whatever the reason is, Ennis looked fantastic if he just continues to play that role and not try to do too much. And even the other guys, Caboclo, and in particular, Chris, who was a guy that was a lottery pick that basically said that he couldn't be coached. He was a disgruntled player that was suspended last year. Boy, he and Chris Paul had a chemistry. He looks like a very adequate backup for Clint Capella, and it looks like he could be a nice pickup and fit for that team.
Did you see the pass from Chris Paul to
Michael Carter-Williams?
No, to Carmelo Anthony on the wing,
through the legs. Through the wickets. Yeah,
defenders rushing at him because he kind of goes up under the basket.
He went baseline.
Yeah, and the defender comes to help. And he's kind of, you know, spreads his base and he's got his arms up and he just passes it right between his legs to Kamara. It was pretty slick.
So then late in the game, too, through his own legs, he was on a one-on-one fast break and he realized Carter Williams was behind him, but there was a guy trailing him. And he made one kind of Euro step move to the basket.
Who is we?
Paul.
He
split his own legs and dropped it back, and Carter Williams caught it and finished it for an and-one, and it was nice. Like, Chris Paul, the crazy thing, but again, because the NBA, because they're starting the season earlier, they've reduced the amount of preseason games, guys are realizing they've got to take these games from a minutes perspective, not like LeBron. They've got to take it a little more serious, and both Paul and Harden said, I want to play 30 minutes, and they both did, and their numbers reflected it. They took advantage of it. They got their numbers. They looked, now I won't say mid-season form, but, I mean, Paul had 20 and 9 And Harden had a good night in terms of getting the 30 minutes out of the way. But that's what I like the fact that they're very businesslike in the way they took care of the first game. The first game
I just think you're a dork for watching preseason basketball.
I had to check on my boys, Craig and Bull.
Somebody texted the show, said, Barry, what do you, Aggie Joe said, what do you think the chances are of A&M beating Kentucky? Let me tell you what, man. You can sleep on Kentucky all you want. This is a team, I think, that's averaging, giving up 12 points a game. This Kentucky team is no joke. They're 13th in the country.
Yeah, they're not the cakewalk
they
once were.
No one saw that coming. They beat Florida when they were ranked. They beat Mississippi State when they were ranked. They just beat a South Carolina team. Florida win was on the road. The Florida win was on the road. But they're going to have to go to College Station and play. That's a whole different environment than any of these others that you're playing in, Mississippi State and whatnot. I think this is going to be a close game. I think I would lean Aggies, but the spread is 6. I don't know if the Aggies beat Kentucky by 6. And you know what? I'll be honest with you, Joe. It's not going to surprise me if Kentucky wins this game. Not in the least. It's just hard.
I might even call the upset on this.
It's hard to believe in Kentucky because you're not used to them being a good football program. But it's hard to argue with 5-0 with wins over Florida and Mississippi State and South Carolina early on, especially as bad as they've always been. So I might give the 6. Actually, I might take the 6, but Aggies win by 1. But I could see Kentucky just winning this game outright. So it's not going to be easy, man.
They're not a slouch anymore.
Stingy defense.
It helps that they're playing in College Station.
Oh, yeah. That's what I mean. Yeah, that's the big difference. But, I mean, again, 4 of their 5 wins are on the road.
I don't like the spread, though. I don't think either team is only going to – like, I think it's going to be – I think if it's going to be one team that covers the spread, it'd probably be A&M, if it is.
Yeah. I meant, by the way, not the 4 of their 5 are at home, but the 1 win against Florida on the road.
Right.
So they went to the swamp.
Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah, so.
I caught that.
Shut up.
Hey, before we get off of basketball, too, by the way, we all know by now Kawhi's in Toronto, and Kawhi's always been Mr. Soft-spoken. But I think because of that, we don't know a lot about Kawhi, but we missed this initially. But people are having a field day right now on social media with the fact that on media day, they sat Kawhi down for an interview and someone said something that made him laugh. I don't know if you guys have heard his laugh or not, but oh, man.
It's awkward.
Yeah.
He sounds like a stoner.
It's like a stoner that's trying to pinch one off.
Bro.
It's like he's got one stuck in stall number 3.
That's what happens when you fake laugh. That was a fake laugh.
You think that was a fake laugh?
Nick, if you look at the video. No.
I think that's a fake laugh.
I don't. Look at the video. I don't think he's faking it at all. And then.
Who laughs like that?
He's so socially awkward anyway. But then when you hear the fact that when someone asked him afterwards about it. Do you have that clip too? Yeah. Someone asked him about it after the fact, and he wasn't aware of it, but that was an awkward exchange, too.
No, but then again, I don't really know what people were thinking, because I don't have social media, and I don't read what anyone says. You know, it's not surprising when you're at this high of a caliber player.
What the hell did he say? I couldn't hear anything over basketball.
That's the best audio.
He didn't know what people said, but he doesn't have social media, so therefore he wouldn't. But that's the way social media goes, because that's what people do on social media.
Yeah, similar to the text line on a radio station.
Just awkward, dude. And then that's why I think there's no doubt that the laugh is real. It's authentic.
I'm with you. I think it was totally.
I might be wrong. I mean, I don't really recall his laughter to really argue or debate about it.
No,
it just seems so fake when you looked at his face.
But when you look at the video, and then there's the longer version of it too, because I guess they sat him down in the Toronto Raptors studios, and it was part of a longer interview. And when he laughs, you're just like, oh no. But he did, and I think he had 17 points in 18 minutes last night.
Hey,
so
good
at
for
least
him.
He had a good debut, so maybe he's actually going to be healed and he's going to be okay.
Good for him.
Because it didn't take long.
I just got rid of another hater on the text line, if anyone cares.
Okay, good job.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I don't like you getting rid of all these haters.
I
like these
haters.
That's what they were talking about.
You know, the sad thing about that corndog chick?
Erica Rico.
Yeah, is that the shadow on the corndog makes the corndog like it has a head. That ain't good.
don't think I needed that, but I can't talk about that because then I'm going to have someone calling in saying that I talked about that. So I'm not going to talk about that.
Not good. Hey, Nick had the best list today, so I blocked that person.
Good job.
Oh, yeah. The poll. How's the poll?
You won. Or you're close to winning. You're close to winning. I don't know how, because it was a weak-ass list for you.
Yeah, your
really
list
wasn't.
Actually,
it really was not a weak-ass list.
It really was.
How was it a weak-ass list?
No, Barry's list was the best.
B.I.G., going back to Cali, Beastie Boys, Criss Cross, Ludacris, Outkast. What are you talking about?
Criss Cross. Really?
You know what you're that
Criss
is?
Criss Cross?
Yeah.
That's wiggity wiggity whack.
Criss Cross.
People will still dance the Criss Cross jump
you
till this day.
Your list is wiggity wiggity whack, miggity miggity mac.
No.
Of all the groups from Atlanta you had to choose from, you went with Criss Cross.
Yeah.
Criss Cross.
Why not?
It lets you know how many of our listeners.
It's a Way Back Wednesday. That's what Way Back Wednesday.
Yeah, not Way Whack Wednesday. Criss Cross? Get out of here with
I
that.
I thought you were going Escape. Easy.
Somebody said we're late. Yeah, we know. We brought up the laugh because of his response on social media.
Right. Okay. The whole world's a critic and a producer. Know.
Some of you, I wish you would accidentally drop your phone in the toilet and then just go after it.
No, then flush.
Or just before go Before you after. Do that, just give it to me. I need a new iPhone. So.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well,
hook one up.
You have a job. Go get one.
No, I want one for free.
When Barry laughs, he sounds like a teapot steeping.
Oh, you guys got killed.
That's great.
You guys got killed.
Hey,
that's why he won.
We got one break to go. 44%
to 27%. You guys got killed.
Man,
that's
we
what
need
happened.
To get to a break.
This dude's bots are killing me week in, week out.
Yeah.
All right. We got one segment to go on the show. Don't go anywhere. It is The Usual Suspects on Sportsbet 94.1 and ESPN 97.5.
This is ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, this right here goes out to all the babies, mamas.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, one segment to go on the show. It's The Usual Suspects, Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Way Back Wednesday. I'm not going to get into the poll. So, with that being said, wild card game number two tonight.
Yes.
And it's Severino for the Yankees against bullpen by committee by the A's. You agree with the decision?
I mean, do they really have a choice?
Well, they left your boy off the roster for tonight's game.
Fires?
Yeah, Fires is the only starter on the roster for tonight's game is, as they put it, in an emergency situation, is Edwin Jackson.
If your reliance on beating the Yankees in New York was Mike Fires, forget it. They do have a great bullpen, though. I mean, probably second best bullpen in the playoffs, in the American League at least.
Well, they got seriously.
Yeah,
yeah, it's next legit. To the freaking Rockies. I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, and the Brewers.
I said American League.
But, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But when they got Familia, that made me mad at the time because they got him early.
Yep.
And I thought this was the perfect guy for the Astros, and they got him cheap. But again, for the team that has the lowest payroll in baseball, to be where they're at and to have built up a bullpen like they've done with their starters just being
I think it doesn't favor the A's for several reasons. One of them being that the fact it's not a strikeout. Their pitching staff doesn't get a lot of strikeouts. Mm-hmm. They don't strike out a lot of batters. They pitch to contact. And the Yankees, one of their kryptonites is striking out. I mean, they'll whiff a lot. They're one of the worst teams in the league in strikeouts per at bat. So when you pitch to contact against a team with that much power, that's usually going to be a bad recipe for your team. Not that they're going to give up a ton of home runs because I think the A's are probably middle of the pack in home runs allowed. But the fact of the matter is when you have the best power team in baseball and you pitch to contact, that's definitely an advantage power team. So plus they're on the road and they had to travel across the country. This is a bad recipe for Oakland Athletics.
We talked about the travel thing, and I just think it's a whole different environment when you play in Yankee Stadium. Temperature change is going to bother the A's a little bit too.
Yeah.
So yeah,
of course we were wrong about last night's game. I thought for sure the Cubs would win that game just because of the experience, but Dude, the Rockies team looks legit. Like, it looks for real. And because they have pitching.
And I thought, I was with the caller earlier, and I forgot to bring that back up. But I thought when he took Blackman out of the game, that was a huge mistake. I thought there's a bat that you got to have as you head towards extra innings.
What are you doing?
Yeah, I thought, man, that's one that's going to backfire and you're going to hear about. But, you know, he got away with it. And credit for him for having the grapes to do that. But, man, I thought that was a bad move at the time.
I'm with you.
And your boy, Nick, David Dahl, whew, he was almost the GOAT, too, when he dropped that fly ball.
Dude,
he
overran it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, oof, that's ugly. That's not that, I've seen that several times this year. Springer did it, I believe, or Reddick. One of those guys, I think it was Reddick.
Yeah, I don't think I'd seen George do it, but.
Somebody on the Astros in left field, so it was either Reddick or Springer, because Springer will play center or left.
I thought he plays center or right.
I mean, right, my bad, not left, right, my bad, yeah. my bad. Yeah, but it was either Reddick or Springer, and one of them overran a ball just like that. So, and then didn't somebody do that at first base for the Astros as well? Was it White?
It happens a lot at first base. Yeah. I forget where they were, and the wind really was blowing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, all right, you want to get your boy in here
Let's
before we get out?
Let's do it. Clarence wants to talk about haters. What's up, Clarence?
What up, guys?
What's up, man?
Sup?
Man, what's going on? Why everybody got a hate on y'all? What did y'all do to deserve such hate?
I don't know. You know what, Clarence? I think, honestly, people just do it because they know we'll talk about them and it makes them feel good. Like, there are certain people that listen to the show and all they want to do, even if it means that they have to act like an a-hole just to get a mention on air, they literally lube up and just go to town after that because it makes them feel so good. So who knows why they do it? But whatever, it's all in fun at the end of the day. I could honestly care less as some of these folks that text and tweet don't like
listening,
me.
It's great. It's just that you'd like to be able to avoid the fact that everybody thinks they're either the executive producer or the biggest critic. So,
I think they just sit at home and just listen the entire day, and they'll tweet something or text something, and you're like, oh my God, Barry Reddick. Oh, my God. Oh, that made my day. Okay, what else am I going to do now?
I really feel that that's correct.
Stop talking about OU Mike, Clarence.
I haven't talked about him in a good week or so.
I thought that's who you were referring to. You were referring to OU Mike. He sits back. He relaxes.
Talking about OU Mike is no longer fun. Yeah, I have to move on.
Okay.
Yeah. I can start talking about White Magic, yeah.
Let's not go there. All right, you were doing
not
well.
Like Barry gives them any recognition of props or anything.
Hey, buddy, we both put your Saints in the top five, so relax. It's a good day.
There you go. About time.
There you have it.
I knew you'd like that.
I got him in the top 32.
Appreciate the call, Clarence.
Thanks, Clarence.
All right, so I got Yanks. You got Yanks.
Yeah.
Who you got in the game? Yankees?
Yanks.
Okay. I feel like you just yelled something out.
And then, Barry, you get what you've wanted, you've anticipated, and what the networks are clamoring for, Yankees, Red Sox.
Oh, yeah. Don't think. And that's the other thing, talking about get on. I'm up.
Okay. Now you're back to your regular
stuff. That's a disaster.
They were talking about Mike Greenberg, who, by the way, you know, like I said, doppelganger, handsome, smart. Me, him and I, so much in common. But he then goes on to say, do you think that baseball is going to change the wild card if the Yankees lose tonight? Because you now have the Cubs and the Yankees, who everyone would want to see in the World Series, getting bounced from the playoffs with no chance to play. I hate to tell you this, Greenberg, but the world doesn't revolve around New York and Chicago. Yes, I understand that they want those teams and those markets in baseball. But then just if that's the case, then just eliminate all the cities you don't want to have a chance.
No.
Only keep the markets that you care about, and that's it.
Fun fact, outside of New York and Boston,
no one wants
everyone
to
wants them to lose.
I am so excited for the fact that the National League has three teams that you don't get to see a lot
it.
Of.
I love Rockies got the Braves, and Brewers and Braves.
Brewers and Rockies. I hope the Dodgers get swept. I really do. In fact, I wouldn't mind seeing the Indians make some noise, or the Athletics make some noise.
Ooh, boy.
Listen, man, it's good to see some fresh teams. That's part of why everyone loved the Astros. Now, we've got to hurry up. So
I think you went too far on that.
Who, me?
Wanting the Indians because they'd have to do something by beating the Astros.
It'd be something different, man.
No, I was with you up until then, but I think I love Brewers and Rockies in there for sure.
We got to hurry up, White Magic, but he wants to respond to Clarence. What's up, man? Sorry.
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen? Look, Clarence, just because I don't call in as much anymore, I travel a lot for work. I know you wouldn't understand that, but don't you call in every day talking about your same-ass, sorry-ass Saints, and it's not funny. You try and be funny. You're not a comedian. Stop. You don't want these problems, Clarence. I'm trying to tell you. I'm funny when it comes to this stuff. I will roast you. Don't do this to yourself. I'll hang up and listen to you.
Appreciate it, White Magic.
There he is.
A new fight being started. I would. I'm actually betting on White Magic on this one.
You think so?
In terms of the verbal debate, I don't think. I love Clarence. He's a suspect. I think White Magic will roll him up in a joint and smoke him. Honestly,
I'm not picking a side.
I'm picking a side.
I'm just watching.
I mean, I don't think Clarence is going to take it personal. He can prove me wrong.
I think it's all good as long as it stays without being in person.
I think you might sleep on Clarence just because he's a nice guy. He's had some calls.
Oh, he's had moments, no doubt.
When I was new to this, we were just putting the show together, and it was Dre versus Juggalo Trey. There wasn't a doubt in my mind that Dre was going to dust Trey, and then it completely was the opposite when it went down.
Well, all I know, this is a song that represents y'all's Way Back Wednesday list.
Wow, that was such a smooth.
Yeah, wow, that was really.
You really nailed it.
Hey.
Great job.
It's on the list.
You just set it all up.
It's on the list.
And then you had like 3 seconds of silence.
I saved the best for last.
And then some guitar. Good job.
Some guitar.
Loser.
Okay.
Guitar.
Yeah, so, guitar.
One more show of the week. Bow, 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 bow. For us.
Loser.
So tomorrow.
Yeah, we're done. We have one show and then we're off on Friday. Suck it, America.
For baseball. So, okay, we'll regroup, but you guys don't have to do a thing. The Blitz is going to take you home next on both stations. So, Jong, Fred, AJ, they're in studio. They're ready to go. You guys have yourself a wonderful evening. For Nick and Barry, I'm Joel. We'll talk to you tomorrow right here on The Usual Suspects.
Lose up, baby. I'm insane to complain about a shotgun
wedding and a stain on my shirt. Don't believe everything that you breathe. And I didn't know if they sniffed their own parts or not. Yeah, boy.